Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good, good. That was good. Who ate enough on Thanksgiving? Who could have eaten some more? It was typical for our family tradition is we'll go with Patty's extended family. We'll all get together for a huge meal. And each year it gets a little bit like 10 minutes later and later and later. And I've started enjoying it later. But this year, I don't know. I griped a little bit, maybe just a little bit. And I was like, can we just have a regular scheduled lunch this year and a breakfast? Like, it's hard waiting till nighttime to eat. And so I kept talking about it. And so Patty's mom, the wonderful woman that she is, she goes, oh, you want a breakfast and lunch, huh? And so she made all-out breakfast, sausage, eggs, the works. And then I was like, man, that was really good. And so for lunch, I was like, I'll just make a sandwich. She's like, oh, I'm going to grill some tri-tip for lunch. So she grilled tri-tip, and I was like, oh, cool. This is a great Thanksgiving. She goes, oh, but for dinner, then we're going to have the turkey, the ham, the stuffing. And it was just like, I was like, this is the craziest Thanksgiving. It is. I'm not complaining. It was wonderful. I just need to go to the gym more now. It was fantastic. We are continuing our sermon series, Jesus is Able. I am thoroughly enjoying and loving this series. Amazing decor. Do you guys like how we do the decor every once in a while for the theme? These are all the sermons that we're going through the sermon series, I'm excited for it. Jesus is Stable is today's message. Jesus is Stable. I want to preach on what happens when you leave a stable environment because in your mind, the grass is always greener, right? We've all been in those situations where we're like, the grass is greener on the other side. That's the best way. One time I was talking to a gentleman and we were talking about different things and I was asking for wisdom in his life and he goes, you know the saying, the grass is always greener? I was like, yeah. He goes, it is absolutely true. The grass is always greener on the other side. But it will cost you to upkeep the greener side. I was like, that's deep. He goes, you have to put up with all the manure and all the water costs, the water that you would use normally to fuel the life and the family blood. You'll now have to pour it on external circumstances rather than keep it for your family. And I was like, this guy is good. The grass is always greener. Just saw the door open. Today's message, Jesus is stable. Jesus is stable. I think in our mindset of our culture, it's really easy to think of the word stable as secure, firm, unmovable, stable. It's like a table. It's just very stable. But when I hear stable, the first thing my mind goes towards is a horse stable. My grandpa actually ran a horse stable and bred horses and raised horses for the Santa Anita racetrack when he got out of the military. He just loved horses. And he just opened up a stable, started breeding horses, and had a great time at Santa Anita racetrack. And that's where my mind goes. And in regards to a horse stable, there are three things that always happen in a horse stable for racehorses. You always have sleeping, feeding, and breeding. That's what a stable is for. Every time. Racehorses, that's what happens inside of there. And I was really thinking about what happens with a racehorse with stability in its daily life and then stability in a Christian life. Are we being fed enough or do we feel hungry? Are we resting enough or do we feel weary? Is the kingdom of God growing or is it stagnant? And I just kept opening up all these illustrated points on a horse stable to the word of God. And the scripture that really popped out and mirrored almost perfectly this illustration was the lost son or the prodigal son or Luke chapter 15. If you've read it before, you've heard it before, this is one of the top preached on verses of all time. The son that leaves and comes back. I know for a lot of us, this hits home, the story, because it's so applicable. Sometimes it's easy to read this story on the extreme of loved ones that we have and just praying that they return, but I want us to put our shoes in this young man's life in regards not to the extreme, but into the daily life of this son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, starting it off. Jesus talking. To illustrate this point further, Jesus told them a story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, his younger son packed all the belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. He lost three things. He no longer had a place to rest his head. He no longer had food to sustain his life. And he no longer had people around him. He'd become isolated. Before we jump into point one, I want to read verse 17 through 19. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants had food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger." What happens at the stable? You eat. "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you.'" He's trying to go home to find rest. And 19, "I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant." Point number one is feeding. Feeding. In a stable and in the story, food is important. Do you know on a racehorse, if you look at when they eat, it's kind of interesting because a racehorse is one of the few animals that has the same eating patterns that humans do. You know that like a dog you feed once a day or twice, or if they're really hungry, 17 times a day. Like, you know, but those dogs get a little bit bigger. A racehorse actually eats just like us, or what we should be eating like, I should say. They eat three times a day, and farmers and racehorse people, I can't think of the correct name, I'm sure there's a word for them, say that you need to look at food of a racehorse like the gasoline of a car. It is their energy and life source to win. And they're, if you just Google what to feed a racehorse, it's insane the amount of responses you'll get and the science behind it, how many oats, the percentage of salt blocks, the percentage of hay, the different, everything that's involved within it. It is mind-blowing the amount of information. How many websites I found, what to feed a racehorse and what times to feed a racehorse, how to feed a racehorse, who to feed the racehorse, what not to feed the racehorse, where to ship in your oats from around the world to feed a racehorse. It was just, the food was insane of what to feed a racehorse. It was so critical of what a racehorse consumes, because what it consumes is how it performs outside of the stability that it lives within. What you consume will set you up for success or failure in your daily life. When things don't feel stable, the food and what you consume varies drastically. Racehorses, you find out that one of the most important meals of the day is breakfast. How many times have we heard that? Breakfast is the most, they eat just like us. It's weird. Typically a racehorse, someone will go out between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. and feed them the highest energy packed meal that they'll have of the day. Not a large quantity, but quality. You don't just feed it till it's full. That would damage the horse. You have to feed it, and you have to do the science behind, well, they need this much energy to expend on this much working out at this much time, and they have to feed it just right. Because too much It just overwhelms and it can't utilize it. Too little, it doesn't have enough energy. It needs exactly what it needs for the day. How many times have God spoken to us and we can just dive in, and if we're not focused on listening to exactly what he has for us that day, we can just be overwhelmed and just read five chapters and like, oh, that's wonderful, and just it fades off into nowhere. Be focused on how you read the word. Be focused on what God speaks to you. And then continue with the racehorse. They ate a large energy-packed meal for breakfast, a sustaining energy meal at lunch, and then they eat a recovery meal at dinner. They eat something to replenish what they already spent through the day, because when they go back into the stable for the night, they need to make sure they're full through the night to replenish the sore muscles and the fatigue and all that stuff. Just thinking out loud, this isn't in my notes, but how many times have we had like maybe a stressful work day or something, and we go home and it's like you take it out on people around you, or you're just grumpy around them, you know? I think if we learn from these racehorses, they feed the first thing they do while before getting home and sometimes in the home so that they're replenished for the rest of the night. How drastically different would our attitudes be with loved ones if we had an encounter with Christ, even just a little one, before we interacted with our family on a bad day? I'm just thinking out loud on that one. So, under point one, feeding, I have a subpoint called how to live full. How to live full. A, eat your own food. In the story, it's illustrated out perfectly. It says the prodigal son, what was he trying to eat? Pig pod. I don't even know what a pig pod is. And I don't want to know. And he says they're delicious. It is what hog riders eat. I don't know. They're... Thanks, Andy, for that. That's a character in a video game. A man rides a pig. You don't need to worry about it. He was eating pig food. Think about this. Pigs consume leftovers from the table. They also consume stuff that no person should consume. This represents consuming leftovers from the Word of God. Things that you don't take from the table yourself. They're leftovers. They're just scraps from other people. I want to urge you, eat your own food. Step up to God's table and consume from the King. As a kid, I don't know your experience at Thanksgiving, but as a kid, whenever we did stuff with family, there was always, generically two tables. There was like the adult table with the good food, and there was a kid table with like the microwaved hot dogs and hamburgers. That was my childhood, okay, Nakia? Don't look at me like that. And I always remember like, or the boiled hot dogs. Like, this is true. This is very accurate. And I remember eating, and I remember just thinking, someday I'll be able to eat good food at the big table. And the little tables, it's always, I don't know what you guys ate at, but ours was always like the little kid's plastic table. I was the oldest kid at the kid table throughout my entire childhood. And like, you got your hot dog and a pile of crayons dumped in the middle because adults are like, just have fun. Other kids are like, the crayon's delicious, Eat your own food. Stop living life at the kiddie table of Christianity. Dig deep and step up to the table the King is sitting at. The good food for sustenance and longevity and living a life like a racehorse is from the King's table. A lot of times the difference between the racehorse that wins and the racehorse at the glue factory. I don't know if you knew that's where they go. Anyways, You're welcome. Elmer's. Anyways. Okay. The difference oftentimes is the energy and the food that's given to the racehorse that wins and ready, the inheritance of the father to that racehorse. The lineage is critical in racehorses. And I just love that thought, because when you become adopted by God into the kingdom of God, you now have a lineage for victory. You have that inheritance. But you need that energy to sustain life. You need that. You gotta have it. You know, I don't know if you ever watch those movies or those documentaries where if there's one racehorse that's just performing solid their whole lives, people will pay king's ransoms for that lineage of that horse. I don't know if you've ever known that. And it's just symbolic of how much Jesus paid so that you can inherit that lineage. A was eat your own food. B, eat frequently. Eat frequently. I told this story to, we had a guys group a little bit ago, and I told a story, so if you've heard it, hope you enjoy a second time. I was recently, I was like, you know what, I need to start going to the gym again, I need to start working out, and I want to beat the rush before, you know, the January stuff happens, and I want to get in that routine. And so I went to the gym, and when you at the LA Fitness one, like right up here, because it's nice because you can just jog there, work out, and jog back, even though I still drive my car there. But that was my initial logic.
You too.
And so when you sign up to go, they do a free assessment, and they do like the whole workout with the trainer, and they tell you what you should, shouldn't be eating, and how bad you are at working out already. So they do all of that. And then they say, well, have you joined with us? And blah, blah, blah. You know, they do that whole thing. And so I do my free assessment, and it was a long day, and I had, you know, one of those like little Winco salads that they make, the pre-made ones, the little tiny ones that are like in a bowl. I had that for lunch, and I went, so like 11, I ate that. And then at 5, I went to go to the trainer. And no food in between. How does everyone know this but me? Everyone's like, stupid. So then I go and we're working out, and he's having me do stuff. And it's just like my eyes can't focus anymore. Everything's like blurry. I'm seeing, you know, Star Wars spots everywhere. And I feel like I'm going to throw up. And we're like into the warm-up. And I was like, I'm not feeling very good. And he's just like, well, you need to dig deep. And I was like, okay, I'll dig. And then we're doing, then we do that, you know, where you squat against the wall, you put your back against the wall and you do it. And so like 30 seconds in, I'm like, I'm shaking like crazy. And I'm like, I don't feel very good. And he goes, do you see that lady over there? And, you know, he points, and she was like about 98 or something. He goes, I just worked out with her and she did a minute and a half. And I was like, I got to beat a minute and a half. I'm like, I'm just not feeling good. I'm seeing spots everywhere. And so I beat a minute and I was like, I'm out. And then he's like, okay, now we got to quick, just do this. And so we're doing weights and doing things. And I'm just like doing this kind of thing where I'm like trying. And he's like, what is going on with you? He's like, you're a young guy. You need to, come on, let's pick it up. And I was just like, ugh. And I'm like starting to slur my words. And he's just like, you know, why don't you take a water break? And so I take a sip of water. And I was like, I think I'm going to throw up or pass out or do something. And then, like, I kind of remember the next parts, but kind of not. And so I remember I was just like, he's like, okay, get your water, come back up. And I'm like, I feel like I said that to him, that I wasn't feeling well. I may have not. But then I just like walked to the restroom, and I was like, if I throw up, I want to make sure I'm in the restroom, because I don't want to like leave a mess on the floor. Then I'll be that guy for the rest of my history inside this gym. So I'd rather just be in the bathroom, because of course that's a better place. So I go to the restroom and I'm in there, and I'm like sitting down, and I'm just like waiting for something. And then like maybe 2 minutes pass to what I assume is 2 minutes. And then eventually he's like, Matt, you in here? I was like, yeah. He goes, did you quit on me? And I was like, no. And I was like, I just took a minute. And he goes, how long you think you've been in here? And I was like, 2 minutes, 5 minutes? He's like, it's been 45. And I was like, oh. He goes, we need to get you outside because you're in the stall next to the sauna and it's just going to get worse and worse. And I was like, I can't stand up. So eventually, he's like, why do you think you feel like this? I goes, I thought you'd do cycling stuff. And I was like, I do. I don't know what's going on. And then he goes, what'd you eat? And I said, well, I had like a little bit of salad for lunch. And he's like, oh. And so then he's like, I'll be back. And he goes, and he comes back and he tosses a banana to me. And I just like ate a banana. And he's like, we got to get you outside. And so then finally get outside. I'm like feeling better. And he goes, you do know. You need to eat before you work out, right? And I was like, well, I mean, yeah. Everyone knows that. So, and I kept thinking about it. You need to eat frequent. B, eat frequent, eat frequent, eat frequent. Eat frequent. By the way, a couple of the points, I'm going to say it, and it might be a little bit off. John pointed out today that my grammar is atrocious. And so he was going to fix a couple of the letters in here. So if I say something, it doesn't, just let me know. Eat frequent. Eat frequent. I knew it was coming up. I didn't know if it was that one. Eat frequently. That's why it has the red squiggly thing. Anyways, God gives words. God gives words. I did. And coffee. Coffee is breakfast, right? No. I'm just kidding. God gives words to get us through obstacles. God gives us words, timely, timely words. Moments we need them. They're so critical. Have you ever just needed something and you show up to church and you just hear it and you're like, yes, yep. That's it. You know, when God gives us words, it's meant to get us through those obstacles. And one thing we can't do is live off that same word 20 years later because God wants to keep speaking to us throughout it. Can you imagine going to a Thanksgiving meal and you show up and you're like, man, I just need one thing. This gravy looks good. I'm good for the rest of the day. No, it's added to over time, right? You make it down the line. I don't know how you have Thanksgiving. We do like a buffet. There's so many family there. It's like you start at one end and you work the way to the other. It's like the timeline of your life. You get a word here and you move on, but then you get another word and you move on. And you get another word and God's giving his words to carry you through your life and you can't stop at one word and say, I'm done. God, that's good. God proceeds us through life and he wants to continue speaking to us to give us life. And give us words of wisdom and understanding. Eat frequent. Frequently. And see, eat when you're supposed to eat. Eat when you're supposed to eat. Don't allow yourself to miss out on opportunities to hear from God. Don't allow yourself to see an obstacle or weariness or tiredness and think, oh, I'll just eat later. I'm too tired to eat right now. When you're tired, that's when you should be eating. When you feel like your energy is depleted, get energy in you. I want to know in heaven someday and ask God, did you build our physical bodies to represent our spiritual souls as illustratively as you did? I mean, have you noticed so many things parallel? When we're tired, it's obvious we need to eat. When we're lacking energy, we need to consume. Likewise with our soul. When we're weary, we need to consume some word of God. We need to consume something from God. All right, continue with verse 20. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Verse 21. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. First one was about what we eat. The second one is sleeping, resting, where we lay our head. Number two, sleeping. A horse is placed into a stable, and one third of the reason why it's there is to sleep, to rest. If it's not properly sleeping, it is forced to expend even more energy through the day to tire and weary it out more to rest properly. Did you know that? If the guy who's overseeing the horse is seeing that it's not resting at night and it's restless, it's like, all right, you're going to run some more. You're going to run some more until you rest properly. Sometimes I wonder if that's what God does with us. You're not resting with me. You're not resting under my wing. We'll tire you out a little bit more. Have you ever seen how calm and collective a young child is if they miss a nap? It is. They are so soothing and just wonderful personalities to be.
That's your best joke ever.
Right? Children need to rest when they need to rest.
Yeah.
Likewise, we need to rest spiritually when we need to rest, because we can get the same way. Or at least I can. I don't know about you. I can get the same way. Rest. I really enjoy bringing this concept of rest. I just felt burdened on my heart about rest, even when we moved out to Ventura, to share what rest is biblically. And I know I talked with my wife and I said, this is something we are going to be talking about in Ventura. And I don't know if I was necessarily going to share this aspect of it, but in Ventura, one of the main aspects of this community is comfort. Comfort. And it is easy to turn to comfort and miss out on rest. And because of that, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, you can miss out on resting but feel comforted. And it's like fake.
Wow.
Anyways, that's why, if you're wondering why I speak on rest so much, it's just every demographic, every area has something that spiritually needs to get spoken over. And rest and comfort was one of them for Ventura County, specifically the 805 that I heard when I first moved out here. And I'm sticking to it because God told me to. So how to live rested? How to live rested? A, stay focused. Stay focused. It's easy to get distracted by chasing after comforts in life if we're not focused on what God is speaking to us about. If we're focused on what God is speaking to us about and listening and obeying to what God is saying, then we will naturally rest because we realize we can't do it on our own. We will die of exhaustion spiritually if we try to just go from place to place to place, seeking after comfort to satisfy that empty need that really is just a need and craving for rest. Stay focused. B, stick to routine. Stick to routine. Going back to the young man, part of the reason why he lost his rest was he was not focused on the inheritance from his dad. He lost his focus and he abandoned his routine of expanding that kingdom, his father's kingdom. And because of that, he fled out of town and lost his rest, lost his comfort, lost everything that he had. I'm really just picking these points out of the story because Jesus told the story and I love Jesus. And I think he's a smart guy. And C, don't live to rest. Rest to live. What do I mean by that? Don't work really hard to have something enjoyable happen at the end of it. It's easy to get sidetracked into that vacation style life where people work really hard, really hard, really hard so they can have the amazing vacation and then do it all again. That's wearisome. Don't live to rest, rest to live. Enjoy the stuff, but be ready for the season you're working in. Because God has you there for a purpose. Don't just go through the routines of life and just, your days will fly by and you'll miss it. Have you ever seen that, what's that Adam Sandler movie where he has like a remote control?
Click.
Okay. So some of us have seen it. The basis of the movie is Adam Sandler gets this remote control and it can control life. Like he can speed up time and he starts using it to avoid uncomfortable, boring things. So he starts, he's like, he gets in an argument with his wife and he's like, fast forward. And then it ends. And then he's like, I don't like this part of my life. Fast forward, I don't like this. And then the remote starts adapting to him and says, I will auto fast forward. And then pretty soon, well, this is kind of a spoiler, so if you go to watch it, sorry. Pretty soon, at the end, it has fast forward his entire life and he's sitting in the hospital on his deathbed. He said, where did life go? And it's this metaphor saying, you don't want to skip over every aspect of your life. Take your time with it, enjoy it, and spend your time. Don't live to rest, rest to live. Continuing on the story, verse 22, but his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast for his son of mine, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Now, point number three, the third thing that happens in a stable is you have feeding, you have resting, sleeping, and then three, you have breeding. You multiply the horses. In other words, new life is created in the stable. New life. Bring it over illustratively. How to bring new life to the kingdom of God. How to bring new life to the kingdom of God. That's the third aspect. In a stable, you have to worry about feeding because it's the energy to sustain. You have to worry about resting because it prepares you for what's to come. But then you have to worry about what will happen after that horse is gone. Who will take over that stable? Same with the kingdom of God. How are we perpetuating our faith and our movement that Christ so elegantly died and rose again for? How do we continue it on? How do we press forward so we see the kingdom of God grow? A, demonstrate what's important. Demonstrate what's important. In the story, the father took the cloak, the ring, the Nikes, and the cow and gave them to his son. Demonstrate what's important. He took all his status, everything that would normally be seen as important, and said, it's nothing to me. It's not who I am. Who I am is a father and all this stuff I'm placing on my son. He passes it along saying, my importance is in front of me, not what I wear, not what builds my kingdom. My kingdom is people. Demonstrate what's important. As people, are we celebrating the right things? When people are around us and they, you know, it's easy to get sidetracked by negativity. And it's harder work to celebrate and find the celebration factors, the praise things. Chase after those. And when someone is just beaten down on life, try and turn it around to, man, I know that's bad, but you know what? I saw how you did this, and that I'm so impressed. That's amazing. That's phenomenal. You know, that grows the kingdom. Because all of a sudden you change that person's mindset from what's happening and focusing it to what God is doing. B, how to bring new life to the kingdom. B, what was the thing he did? He threw a party. Publicly celebrate victories. When something goes awesome, when God does something in your life, publicly celebrate it with others. And can you praise God with me? This happened. What? That's amazing. When celebration in our life, even if it's small and it might be insignificant, it's not. It is significant because it all of a sudden doesn't just cause celebration in our lives, but it starts building up the kingdom because it spreads to others. If you happen to work in a toxic environment, a work environment that's just negative all the time, these are keys to secular jobs. I'm just telling you. You show what's important to your life by talking about your family. You talk to others and celebrate what's happening. And C, be inclusive. In a secular work, do you know, there's transformation that happens when you're inclusive. Rather than just being in a clique, it's being inclusive. Where do I get the inclusivity from? I didn't read the entirety of the scripture, but if you continue on from verse 25 on to the rest of the chapter, you actually learn that the oldest son was standing outside moping around because the youngest son came back and received a double inheritance. And what did the father do? He walked outside and brought inclusivity to the eldest son. It said, man, I cherish you just as much as the youngest one. Inclusivity grows the kingdom. Watch for outsiders. Find out what's wrong. If someone is hurting or by themselves, bring inclusivity. If you see someone, and it's just an everyday practice. If you see someone just standing in a grocery store and they're just kind of like standing there lost within themselves, it's usually because they've escaped something at home and they don't know where else or what to do. I love finding those people and just saying, hey, you doing okay? So that sometimes opens up conversations and it is wonderful to see what God does. Jesus is stable. The closing thought is this: the more time you spend in the stable of Christ, the more stable you become. Others will seek you out for help in their unstable lives. It needs to be your heart to lead them towards the stability of Christ. The pro is this: you will become stable the more time you spend with Christ in the stability of this message. The con is you can feel that glory of people turning towards you and have them do what you're doing and be like what you're doing if you don't point them to Jesus. And that is scary. Jesus will say, oh, really? You think you're taking the place of God right now? Let's see how you like this. It's those moments you need to take them and say, you know what? Jesus is working in my life through this, this, and this. Let me take you and show you along what he's been doing. Don't just say, oh, fix this in your life, do this, this, and this, and this. You're not God. Neither am I. I love that verse, follow me as I follow Christ. Always have that translation of, I'm not perfect, I'm facing towards the one who is. Join with me. It's that God honors that so much. There's so many blessings within that. I want to just jump into a final time of worship and just praise God for the stability that he's bringing in our lives. Worship team, can you come forward? as we continue in our service, I want to ask if you would just maybe sit down in this time, close your eyes, and reflect on how can I become more stable? What area of the message today resounded within my heart that I need to work on? And just allow yourself to worship God as he perfects that in your life. So ultimately, everything we do is to glorify him in this kingdom. Lord, work in our hearts today, as you already are. Not just to close the cap of a lid of a mason jar and stop the progression of our hearts right now, but let it be a continued work that, as you've spoken to all of us here individually, something so profound, I pray that it would continue to grow and work, just like yeast and bread. It would continue to rise through this week as we reflect back on this. Lord, we all want stable lives. Work on our hearts. In your name.